Thank you, thank you. Ah, we're on. Jungle Jamboree meant lots of animal groups. We had small groups at Jungle Jamboree, all named after animals. Can anyone remember what some of those animal groups were? Yeah. Perfect parrots. Yeah. Were you in Marvellous Monkeys? Oh, you remember Marvellous Monkeys? Matthew Grum? No, he can't remember. Daniel. Brilliant bears. A couple more. Yeah. Super snakes. Scary spiders. Sleepy lions. And amazing apes. And next to, yeah. Oh, beautiful butterflies is that. That's well remembered. That was the Creche group. Fantastic. I want you to have a chat next to the person next to you. What is your favourite animal? What is your favourite animal? 30 seconds. Have a chat with the person next to you. Watch. And why is your favourite animal? Go. They just look cool. They do look cool, don't they? Particularly the men lions, like us really, isn't it? Look lovely and beautiful. Yeah. Okay. Any others? Someone say they got loads of favourites. Couldn't choose one, yeah? Dolphin. Brilliant. Why a dolphin? They're very intelligent animals, they say, aren't they? Yeah. Wow. But dolphins are fantastic. Have you ever seen a dolphin? No. Oh, hopefully you can see. We see sometimes, even off the English coast, you can see dolphins. Yeah. A Brazilian anteater. Not just any anteater, but a Brazilian anteater. Because, why is that your favourite, or one of your favourites?
They get rid of the ants.
They get rid of the ants. Has anyone got ant as their favourite animal? You may want to have a conversation afterwards, if not. Okay, any more? Some of the adults. Oh, no, yep, down there first. Zebra. Beautiful. Why? They're very pretty? Just like they are very pretty, aren't they? David, what was yours? A duck-billed platypus. That it's your favourite, because it's ridiculous. And last one. A giraffe. Majestic. What? Why a giraffe? Really? Go on.
It bent down. It went right over, yeah. Right down, and then straight in the eye.
Fantastic.
Yeah,
fantastic.
My husband said it was
maybe, yeah. Okay. Okay, we've all got favourite animals. I wonder if you recognise sounds from animals.
Yes, I've got a quiz now. In true Kate fashion, I've got a bit of a quiz. So I'm going to play you some animal. I don't know whether this is going to work or not because they're in a book and I'm going to try and do it through the microphone. We'll see what happens. I'm going to play you some animal noises. If you think you can recognise what the animal noise is, put your hand up. Okay, let's try this one. Yes. Yeah, is that what you were going to say? Were you going to say that as well? Fine. Fantastic. Brilliant. Monkey. Okay, let's try another one. Yeah. No, it's not actually. Sounds like it could have been, yes. It was a lion. Fantastic. What were you going to say, Adam? Okay. Yeah, that was the elephant. Yes, absolutely. Fantastic. Well done. A who? Baby tiger. No, it's not a baby tiger.
It is a parrot.
Yeah, I don't think I would have got that. I can see the picture. Let me just try you a couple of other ones. Here we go. How about this one? Possibly slightly different kind of, you know, area of animal. Daniel? Chicken, fantastic. It's getting easier, isn't it? Let's just do one more. Sorry, let's just do that again. It's not often you get to make that sound through a microphone. Yeah. Pig, brilliant, fantastic, well done. Excellent. That worked remarkably well.
I thought that was a frog. The last one. Didn't it sound like a frog? Who remembers the theme song from Holiday Club? Yeah. Now, hands up. Oh, who's going to keep their hands up? Who would like to come out front with me and David to have a go at Jungle Jamboree, the theme song? Yeah, if you'd like to, that'd be fantastic. John, you had your hand up. I'd love to see John do this. Would be fantastic. Well done, John. And who else is coming? Anybody else can come? Do you want to come? But if you want to join, oh, Adam's coming.
Join us during the
yeah,
song.
Halfway through. So it goes a bit like this. It goes, we're going on a jungle jamboree. I'm just going to go for it quickly. We're going on a jungle jamboree. It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. So come along with me. And then it goes, listen to the lion with his mighty roar. Rah! See the power of the elephant's call. So you've got to have a big trunk. See the giraffe standing proud and tall. You know, God created them all. All creatures, this is where me and David differ, if you remember Fenwick Festival, great and small. You can choose who you want to be with, but I'm watching.
I didn't notice that John did it. John.
He did it my way.
Influenced by you.
I think I was influenced by John. And the second verse goes, now you've thrown me. What is it? Oh, see the monkey. Monkey's climbing, hope he doesn't fall, or he'll end up in the crocodile's jaw. The eagle's flying, he's about to soar. You know, God created them all. All creatures, great and small. Okay, you get the idea.
And if you want to move along...
Yes, we're going to move along.
We go left and then...
So we need to stand on your feet if you like to have a go at this, if you're able to. If not, that's okay. You can remain seated as well, whatever, it's up to you. And also, we might have some images, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get ready. We're going to go that way to start with, okay? We're going on a jungle jamboree. And again. We're going on a jungle jamboree. It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun, so come along with me. And again, jungle. And again, we're going on a jungle jamboree. It's going to be what? It's going to be fun, so come along with me. Here we go, lion impressions. Listen to the lion with his mighty roar. Hear the power of the elephant's call. See the giraffe standing proud and tall. You know, God created them all creatures, great and small. Oh. But above them all, God loves us even more. Where are we going? Going for a big one this time. We're going. It's going to be fun, so come along with me. Monkey's climbing, hope he doesn't fall. And he'll end up in the crocodile's jaw. Flying, he's about to soar. You know, God created them all creatures, great and small. Just you and Sean, but above them all, God loves us even more. We're going on a jungle. We're going on a jungle jamboree. It's going to be fun, so come along with me. And again. We're going on a jungle jamboree. It's going to be fun, so come along with me. Excellent. Give yourselves a round of applause. Excellent. Go and sit down. Thank you.
Brilliant. Well done. You really got into that. That was great. It was really good this week to see, I don't know how many children we had, but probably about 130 children here each day, plus a lot of adults and teenagers helping. And it was fantastic to see the church that full, but also that many people joined in here to learn about God and learn about stories from the Bible and to learn about God's love for them. It was really, really encouraging to see that going on this week. Kate likes reading stories, so not surprisingly, a story was part of what she was going to do this morning. And she was going to read this story to you, which is called Giraffes Can't Dance. She was going to read it because it's her favourite book. Perhaps one that she likes reading to her children. Possibly she sits and reads it herself, I don't know. But it's called Giraffes Can't Dance. And I guess the other link is it's got a jungle theme. So has anybody read this? Put your hand up if you know this book already. Lots of you, fantastic. I obviously missed that. My children were the wrong age to get that one. But anyway, so this is about a giraffe called Gerald. Gerald was a tall giraffe whose neck was long and slim, but his knees were awfully bandy and his legs were rather thin. He was very good at standing still and munching shoots off trees, but when he tried to run around, he buckled at the knees. Now, every year in Africa, they hold the jungle dance, where every single animal turns up to skip and prance. And this year, when the day arrived, poor Gerald felt so sad, because when it came to dancing, he was really very bad. The warthogs started waltzing, and the rhinos rock and rolled. The lions danced a tango, which was elegant and bold. The chimps all did a cha-cha with a very Latin feel, and eight baboons then teamed up for a splendid Scottish reel. Gerald swallowed bravely and walked towards the floor, but the lions saw him coming and they soon began to roar. "Hey, look at clumsy Gerald," the animals all laughed. "Giraffes can't dance, you silly fool. Oh, Gerald, don't be daft." Gerald simply froze up. He was rooted to the spot. "They're right," he thought. "I'm useless. Oh, I feel like such a clot." So he crept off from the dance floor and he started walking home. He'd never felt so sad before, so sad and so alone. He found a little clearing and he looked up at the sky. "The moon can be so beautiful," he whispered with a sigh. "Excuse me," coughed a cricket who'd seen Gerald earlier on, "but sometimes when you're different, you just need a different song. Listen to the swaying grass and listen to the trees. To me, the sweetest music is those branches in the breeze. So imagine that the lovely moon is playing just for you. Everything makes music, if you really want it to." With that, the cricket smiled and picked up his violin. Then Gerald felt his body do the most amazing thing. His hooves had started shuffling, making circles on the ground. His neck was gently swaying, and his tail was swishing round. He threw his arms out sideways and he swung them everywhere. Then he did a backward somersault and leapt up in the air. Gerald felt so wonderful. His mouth was open wide. "I am dancing. Yes, I'm dancing. I am dancing," Gerald cried. Then one by one, each animal who'd been there at the dance arrived while Gerald boogied on and watched him quite entranced. They shouted, "It's a miracle, we must be in a dream. Gerald's the best dancer that we've ever, ever seen. How is it you can dance like that? Please, Gerald, tell us how." But Gerald simply twizzled round and finished with a bow. Then he raised his head and looked up at the moon and stars above. "We can all dance," he said, "when we find music that we love." There you go. Nice story. Steve.
When I was younger, I used to like reading books. Don't think my mum read me many books, but when I got a bit older and started to get into reading for myself, like about 34, no, a bit younger than that. But I remember going into the Enid Blyton books, the famous five. Who read the Enid Blyton books? Famous five? Was it just, oh, fantastic. Tell me about the Enid Blyton books. What can we remember about the lashings and lashings of ginger beer? That's what I remember. I thought, what on earth is ginger beer? I can't wait to grow up and have some. Little did I realise I could have had some at that age. But anyway, what else do you remember from the famous five? Anything? Do you remember any of the names? Sorry? Like Paul? Was there? George? I can't remember the whole thing. I just remember the concept of it. Yeah. Dog called Timmy. Anne? Anne. Fantastic. Elf. Dick. Yeah, but it says modern, they've redone them as well, haven't they? They haven't redone. But I remember, the reason I remember the Enid Blyton books was because it happened right outside my house. The whole thing, I'd read the books and I imagined it in my imagination outside my house. And sometimes I'd go to bed and I would sleep and I would dream. And Enid Blyton books happened in the field beyond my house, just over the road. There was always that road as protection, but everything happened over there. And it was brilliant and I loved it. What was your favourite book? Have a think, back in those twos and threes where you were, what's your favourite book and why? It could be one when you were a lot younger, it might be one you've read recently. What's your favourite book and why? Go. Okay, let's hear of a few of the favourites. I'm going to come at the back. Hopefully this will work okay, so I can hear okay. Yes, you had your hand up first, darling. What was your... Say it again. Amelia. Amelia Jane Enid Blyton. Carries on down the ages. Oh, Darren's.
How the Irish Saved Civilization.
How the Irish Saved Fiction Book. Sorry. Lenders, yeah. Roald Dahl book. Anyone, or lots of them, or all of the books? Fantastic. What were you going to say? Who loves the tiger? Came to tea, isn't it? What a fantastic book. Brilliant. Lots of people do. Yeah. Harry Potter books. All of them, or just one in particular? All of them. They are very well written, aren't they? See if there's any more. Any adults read? Yes. Yeah, Stevenson. Yeah, brilliant. Treasure Island, fantastic book. Favourite book?
Dora
the Explorer, fantastic. You can watch Dora the Explorer as well, can't you? Yeah. What's the name of it? Delphi the Ballerina. Wow, fantastic. And Adam was saying Gone. There's a whole series, isn't there? Lies, Deceit, is it? Gone. Did you? Yeah, I've read those as well. What's the other ones? Cherub. Can't remember that one. It's a great world because the adults have gone. In fact, everyone's gone over the age of 15. 15. You're in there, but not for long. Yeah. Hunger Games. Yeah, it's a whole series of what are they called? Catch the. Anyway, yeah, various things. Yeah, favourite books and what. Okay, thank you.
So, put your hand up if you were here at the Holiday Club some or all of the previous week. Fantastic, brilliant. Would anybody be prepared to come and tell us something which happened, something which was a particularly favourite part? Yeah, if you've got something you want to say, come out and we'll hold a mic. I'll hold a mic for you. If you want to come out. Are you happy to come out? Oh, we can use a...
This is going to work. You have to say something.
The songs
you sang, like Jungle Jamboree, and can you remember the
We like stories, don't we, for lots of different reasons. Like my example was that it kind of took me when I was younger into another world. And there might be lots of different reasons why we like stories. And a bit like songs, sometimes you remember a song, you know, when you first met your future husband or wife, and there was a particular song that is yours or whatever. But stories can be the same, and you can remember particular times because of them. What's your favourite Bible story? Not going to get in groups. Just kind of, have you got a favourite story from the Bible? Yeah, Jessica, when you're nodding, do it. Tell me what it is. Is that okay? Ruth, no. Yes. Yeah. Because you've got name. Fantastic. She's coming to tell me. She's just running around to see Dad. That's okay. Going to tell him. Fantastic. So Ruth and Naomi, and that story, fantastic story. Yeah. Tell it a bit louder, Sam, so I can... The talent story that we did have a holiday club on the last day, didn't we, about what some people were doing. Yeah. Two, that's fine. You can have more than one. The Easter story and the Joseph story. And what a fantastic story that. But well, both are, aren't they? Very powerful stories, both of them, with lots of different things in. Alfie. What was that? Samson. Strong man. Sorry, I'm half deaf. Samson. Any others? From some of the adults, maybe, as well. Pat. The prodigal son. That's a good choice. I shall tell you for why in a second. But what do Bible stories do? What do they help us do? Any thoughts about that? Bit of a hard question. Have a chat for literally 30 seconds. What do Bible stories help us do? Or what do they aim to do? Or what do they, what do we get from them? Have a think about that. Just for 30 seconds, go. Who do they tell us about, maybe? Okay. Any thoughts? Towards that, any thoughts? Going straight. I've got to go to the back again. Hold on. Wish you'd sat at the front. No, good. Yeah, we could do that. Speaking to here, so save me repeating you. Do you want to start off?
It helps us learn about Jesus.
Brilliant. Did everyone hear that?
It helps you to know what it was like when Jesus was alive.
Good. Great start. Any more? Any more things? What is it else? Who does it reveal? Who do stories tell us about? Kind of thing. Go on, nice and loud. You can go on. Shout it out. Yeah, God and Jesus. There's another hand down here. No. Thomas, what were you going to say? No. God. Okay. But they do, don't they? They tell us about God's nature, what he's like. They tell us about his relationship with his people. And we often look at that and think about the kind of past, but actually it tells us about God's relationship with us today. And it kind of gives us pointers to how to live. The prodigal son was one of the stories that we had in the Hodley Club. And I wonder if anyone can remember anything about the prodigal son, because we're going to kind of think about that now, because there was, in this story, a father. So who would like to be the father? I'm making stuff as we go along. It can be a lady. I was about to say, so Emma, thank you for volunteering. So we have the father. Yes, thank you. And we have two sons, but we want to particularly concentrate on one son this morning. So we have one son who would like to be a son. This is a good chance to be quiet. And then you... Thomas, oh, thank you, Thomas. Fantastic. So we have the son. So what happened at the beginning is we've got a father, and we've got one son in particular, had two sons, a mother who represents the father in the story. But yes, I might say that more than what... Anyway, you know, even if I get it wrong, just go with it. Okay, so what happens? Who would like to tell me what happens? What does the son do? Yeah. He asks for money. So the son asks for what? What money does he ask for? Does anyone... What, Emma, tell us. What, oh, yeah, go on, Jude.
Because when you die...
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, yes, he did. Are you thinking the same thing, or...? No, just... No, sorry. No, sorry. So you're absolutely right. Thank you, Jude. Yeah, the mother or the father in the story, the boy came to him and said, you know, when you die, Dad, can I have your money now? And what happened out there, out ladies, what happened there, mate? Kind of, he did, because God loved him and kind of loved, or the father loved him so much that gave him the money. Sad, hard at heart, but off he went. And what did Thomas do with this money? Give us a few ideas that we can do on a Sunday morning. Alfie. He had lots of parties. Adam, can you party? Thank you. Computer games. Xbox has been going a long while. Yeah. What are you going to say?
Partying. Yeah.
Partying most of the time? Yes. Lots of that, and probably all sorts of other things as well. But yes, parties. Anything else? Did he have lots of friends? He did. Who would like to be a friend? Go, Jordan. Go, Daniel. And, you come out as well. So be his friends, having a party with him. And the son was giving out lots of money. Giving out lots of... look at that. Giving out money. That's it, Jordan. Get some more money off of him. Yeah, he gets out some money. Until one day, maybe the 140th party, and they're dancing away like the giraffe. Can you do the giraffe backflip? No, okay. But they're dancing away when looking for... Come up to him and say, you know, it's your round. You owe some drinks. You owe some money for some drinks. And he looks in his pocket and... can you pull your pockets out? No, they're not one of those. So. No. He's got nothing. What is his... No money. No money. What do you guys do? Very good. Oh, so all... There we go. Don't go back that way. Don't go back that way. You can go that way. He's lost all his friends. Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Oh, dear. What happens next? What happens next? Tegan. Oh, he does. You are right. But before that, something happens. You're absolutely right, Tegan. You're absolutely right. He does go and find a job, and he starts asking for jobs. He's going around because he's come from a farm, so he knows about farming. So he goes and asks the farmer down there, have you got a job?
Yeah, I've got a job. You can look after my pig.
By this time, Thomas is pretty desperate, so he comes on and he's looking after the pigs. He's slopping them out. Ooh, they're quite messy pigs, aren't they? They say they're clean animals, but they always look pretty dirty to me. But they clean them out, and eventually the food looks quite yummy, doesn't it, Thomas? That you're giving the pigs. So maybe bend down to pick up that bowl, and you can imagine, this. Yeah, can you imagine it? Oh, wow. And then the son comes to his senses a bit and says, what am I doing? What am I doing? I've got a father back home. I've got a home. can I go back? And I imagine he probably wrestled in his head for quite a while about what to do, but eventually decided he's going to go back. But he thought that if I go back, the father probably, he's not going to want me back. He's, you know, I've let him down. I've let God down, and I've let my dad down. I've let the father down. He's not going to want me back. But maybe, just maybe, he'll give me a job. Maybe I can look after my father's pigs and my father's farm and get a wage. But he started to walk home. If you just go around there for a second. He started to walk back. And as he was walking, he was probably walking very slowly as he got closer and closer, but he wasn't sure what was going to happen. He was kind of fearing the worst and prepared to accept the worst, that he'd just be like a hired hand. But in the distance, he could see on the hill. What a hill. Fantastic. I knew this would come in handy at some point. On the hill was his father, or his mother, who didn't just kind of stand. Probably you were going through your head thinking, oh no, oh no, he's waiting for me, I'm in big trouble. Particularly when she started to run towards the sun. Yes, and, oh, very good, brilliant. And, you know the story, don't you, that actually he started to say, look, Father, I've sinned against you, I've let you down, I've let God down, maybe I could work for you, maybe you could find a job for me somewhere on the farm. But the father, the mother was having nothing of that. And said, no, no, it's my son, you're back. It's fantastic. He wasn't even listening to that. You're back, you're back. So much so. What did they do at the end? Tegan, what were you going to say? They had a huge party. Were you going to say the same? They had a big party. Because the mother said, the father said, that my son, yes. He's learned quite a lot of moves since he's been away. That's the only good thing about it. But my son was lost, but now he's found. What's that? What did the father do? What did the mother do in this little child? What did they do? What's the word I'm looking for? What did they do with the son? Because the son had let them down. We see forgiveness, a powerful, powerful story that demonstrates forgiveness in action, that God the Father is prepared to forgive the son. Who is the son in this? Well, who's God to start with? Oh, sorry. There you go. There you go. We know with mother, the father and the mother is God. Who is the son? Who is the son? Us. It's us. It's not just us, because when we think of us, I think of us. But actually it's me, you know, and it's you. And that's who we are. And it's a very powerful story that the father here is, what can we learn about the father? There's a few things. What is the father doing in the story, in the prodigal son? Not so much now, but what's happening? What's the father doing? He's got Adam. He definitely passionately cares about this son. How do we know he passionately cares about this son? Not just Adam, anybody. Yeah. But she's looking out and not just going, well, it's the anniversary of the year. I don't know how long he was away, but, you know, if it was the year, it's not, oh, it's the anniversary, I better go now. Every day, he's looking out for the son to come back. And then what else does he do? And I think John Hardwick told us this when he told the story. He does something that if you think of the mother and father as God, that God doesn't do in any other particular story. He runs to him. That God runs to us, to me and to you, to Thomas. He runs to us and he embraces us. And yes, we need to say sorry and be forgiven, but God just accepts us just like that. Thank you, guys. You've done it. Give these guys a big round of applause.
Brilliant. Thank you, Steve. It teaches us, doesn't it, a lot, that story about, if those of us who are parents, about our relationship with our children, but also an amazing amount about God's relationship with us and how much he loves us and how much he's prepared to forgive us. There's a verse in the Bible, Psalm 145, verse 8, which says, "The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love." And it's one that we did this week at the Holiday Club, and I've already seen some of the youngsters starting to do the actions for that. We're going to sing it now. The Lord is gracious. And does anybody know what gracious means? How about compassionate? What does compassionate mean? Yeah, love. Yeah, there's a lot of emotion in that, isn't there? Gracious. Oh, what's gracious? I was going to say it kind of encompasses forgiving and love and giving us what we don't deserve and all that kind of stuff, doesn't it? So the Lord is gracious and compassionate. Would anybody like to come? I'm going to need at least one person to come and do the actions with me, because I'm going to need somebody to stand and do this. It looks like, yeah. Adam's going to come, fantastic. So you need to turn to somebody next to you and you go, the Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. According to Psalm 145, verse 8. You've got to do this. That's each of those counts as 10. So you've got to do that 10 times, and then a 5 and an 8. So it's Psalm 145, verse 8. Do you see that 10 times? Make sure you do it 10 times. Okay. Fantastic. Brilliant. It will appear on the screen. And, oh, sorry, yeah. 14 times, yeah. I'm sorry, I only managed 10. See if you can do 14. Have any of the children or adults come across a book called You Choose? Come across a book called You Choose? Yeah? It's not got a lot of writing in it. It's mainly got pictures in it. And you go through and it says things like, you choose, and it's got pictures of different jobs that you might like to do and different houses you might like to live in. And as you go through it, you can kind of talk to the person who's reading it with you about what house you might like to live in, where you might like to go on holiday, that kind of thing. It's a really, really nice book with really nice illustrations. And the author lives somewhere near to Cambridge, apparently. And somebody at our primary school arranged for her to come in and talk to one of the classes about the book. And at lunchtime, the author, who's called Pippa Goodhart, was sitting in the staff room. And there were a few of the books that she... There's You Choose and there's a few others that she's done as well. And they were kind of laid out on the table. And it was really interesting because a couple of members of staff came in, spotted the books, didn't realise that the author was actually sitting there in the staff room as well, and said, oh, that book is fantastic. I really enjoyed reading that book with my children. And it was really interesting to see. They said it quite spontaneously, as I say, without knowing that the author was actually there. And then were introduced to the author. And it was great from their point of view to meet the person who had created that book, which they'd obviously found was very significant, and they'd very much enjoyed sharing it with their children. But also for the author to see the excitement of people who had read that book, didn't know it was anything to do with her, but expressed that excitement and then were able to meet her and talk to her about it. It was really interesting. We can enjoy reading books, and sometimes we have the opportunity, don't we, to maybe go to a book signing and actually meet the person who's read the book and get them to sign the book. And that's quite an exciting thing to be able to do. Steve.
So thinking about the Bible and the author, it's somebody we can meet, isn't it? It's somebody we can meet. And I think a verse is going to appear over there, a well-known verse to many of you, from Revelation 3, verse 20, where it says, here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him, and he with me. Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him, and he with me. Who's here I am? Who is here I am? Just so we can just clarify for those of us. Thomas, thank you. Yeah, Jesus, God. Standing at the door and knocking. So which door is he standing at? This one? The one upstairs? Which one's he standing at? What do you think he's talking about here? Yeah. The door to heaven? Yeah, fantastic. I think you're absolutely right. I think there's a little bit more to it as well, but you're absolutely right. Spot on, yeah? Our door. Everyone's door. Our door, isn't it? It's not like we've really got a door, but it's like a door to our heads and to our hearts. And Jesus, God, is saying, ksh, to us. You know, there's that famous picture, isn't there, where Jesus, you see that famous picture, I don't know what it's called, someone tell me what it's called. Light of the world. And Jesus is knocking at the door, and he can't open it. Because the only door, the only latch, the only opening mechanism is on the inside. We're the handle. That's better, thank you. Latch. What they call you, all those big safety things. No. But the only handle is on the inside. We have to open that door, don't we? And Jesus this morning stands at the door and knocks on our hearts. I remember, though, when I was younger, I had a little booklet when I was kind of exploring faith and Christianity. And it was called, I'm pretty confident, it was called My Heart, Christ's Home. And it was a very challenging book. It's a very small book, which I loved when I was younger, but a really small book. And inside it, it kind of talked about exactly this picture that Jesus, God, stood on the door of our lives and knocked, but he broke it down more. And it said, actually, if you imagine our lives are like like a house, then our lives have different compartments or different bits to it. So it didn't just say just one. It actually said, you've got a lounge, which is where you relax and kind of spend time kind of just chilling and stuff. You've got a kitchen where things are very busy and you're preparing a lot of stuff. You've got a dining room where you socialise when you meet with people. You've got a bedroom, which is perhaps where a lot more private. You've got a closet. And the closet always got me, because the closet said that's the things that are really, really hidden. So you may have kind of opened that door to your kitchen and to your lounge, to God. But had you opened the door of the closet? Had you kind of let Jesus come in to those things which are really secret, which we struggle with, which are hard? Have you let him come into your hobbies? Have you let him come into your work? Have you let him come into your relationships? And for me, I found that very challenging, because I looked at it and I thought, I could go down, there's like a list of about 8 rooms, and I could go down and I could tick a lot of them, but there were some I thought, ooh, I'm not sure I could tick. I'm not sure I could tick. And maybe it's the same for you. There's a picture of Jesus standing at the door of your hearts and your minds and knocking. But maybe there's particular components of your life as well that he's knocking and standing there. We're going to be thinking about that in a bit more.
Got another verse in the Bible now. I wonder if anybody can work out what it is. Anybody got it?
So loved the world. For God so loved the world that he gave whoever believes in him shall not die. Very famous verse in the Bible, but also a very significant verse, because it tells us the extent of God's love for us. And again, a verse which those children who've been, those 140 children or 30 children who have been here this week, will have gone away going through their minds with that verse in that song. We're going to do that song now, if we could. Thank you.
There'll be a point where we divide, and if you.
A little boy lived far out in the country in the late 1800s, and he was about 12 years old, and he'd never seen a circus before. So you can imagine his excitement one day when lots of posters went up in his town saying that the circus was coming, a travelling circus. He ran home and spoke to his dad and said, "Dad, can I go to the circus? I really would love to go to the circus." The family was quite a poor family, but the father knew how important this was to his son. I said, "Well, if you do your Saturday chores..." Jordan, do you do your Saturday chores? Yeah. Yeah, okay. Hesitation, not good. "But if you do your Saturday chores and you get it done in time, then yes, you can go." So come Saturday morning, you can imagine the chores were done quite swiftly, and the little boy stood by the breakfast table dressed in his Sunday best. And his father reached down to his pocket and took out a dollar bill, the most money that this little boy had ever seen or possessed in his life, and told him to be careful with it and sent him on his way to town. The boy was so excited that his feet hardly touched the ground as he went towards where the circus was coming. And as he neared the outskirts of the village, he noticed a huge crowd of people lining the streets of the crowd. And he worked his way through the crowd until he could see what was happening. And what he could see was the parade of the circus. And the parade was the grandest thing that he'd ever seen. Caged animals, huge animals, small animals, snarling animals. Amazing costumes and people dressed up. Lots of different things. Acrobats as they went down the street. White flags and ribbons swirling in the sky. Finally, after just about everything had passed, the traditional circus clown came bringing up the rear with floppy shoes, baggy pants, and a brightly painted face. As the clown passed by, the little boy reached into his pocket and took out the precious dollar bill and gave it to the clown and turned around and walked home. What do you think that story is about? What happened? What had happened? He gave them the dollar coin or the dollar bill and walked home. What had he missed? He thought that was the circus. He thought that was it. And so he went home. That's it. He'd seen the circus. It was fantastic. But he missed out on seeing the real circus. Arguably, he'd missed out on the best bit. I wonder if that's a picture for some of us of our lives with God. Is that actually, yeah, we're kind of, we're going, whatever that might be, we're going along with it. We've seen a lot of it. We experienced a lot of it. But have we experienced the best bit? Have we gone to the real thing? Have we, because the Christian life is a marvelous adventure, a scary one, but it's an exciting one and a scary one, a risky one at times. We talked about risk taking in Holiday Club. It's a scary one. But are our lives a bit like that little boy that, actually, we haven't visited the real thing, or there's more to come. There's more to come. Is it a picture of our lives? Are we experiencing Christian life in its fullest way? And most of us maybe can answer yes to that. I can't, actually. So I think there's always more. There's always more. But it's a question for us to think about this morning. And we're going to just enter just a short time of quiet. And I want to pose kind of four things for you, really, which is probably too much, but hey-ho. It's supposed to be three in a Baptist church, I think. But we're going to do four. Just for you in this quiet moment, you may want to respond. It's a bit like that door, you know, opening that door and letting Jesus in, letting God in, and maybe having a conversation with him now about something. And I'm going to suggest four things that you may want to do based on what we've talked about today. The first is, do you want to open that door a bit more to God today? Whether that's one of those rooms that I talked about, certain areas of your lives, when you think, actually, I've never really let God in to those areas. Is that you? You might want to say God and just talk to him in your head in a short while. Have you opened the door in the first place? Are you sitting here today and think, actually, I've never really said yes to God. I've really never opened that door to Jesus and said, Jesus, come in. Let's have a conversation. Let's try and get to know one another. That might be you. Going back to the prodigal son. Is there something particularly this morning, big or small, whichever you want, that you need to say sorry to God for? So, experiencing God more, opening that door for the first or the 100th time, opening the door to certain parts of your life, or asking God for forgiveness. In the next minute or so, if we can just be quiet, and maybe if you want to respond to God, because God is here. Whether it feels like it or not, God is here. So we can have that conversation now.